بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم زدنا علما، نسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى، وأن ينفعنا بما علمنا، وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، وزدنا علما. أما بعد، respected brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the benefit of this time together, inshallah, and this dars, increase us in knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. And of course there's a great reward for sitting in the class of knowledge. As the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man yuridi Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi din," as narrated in Bukhari, whoever Allah loves to have goodness to him, he gives him fiqh of the religion, knowledge, understanding of the religion. مَا يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. So alhamdulillah, respected brothers, today we are towards the end of the chapter or the book of purification. And we began last week the chapter on the dry ablution or the tayammum. The tayammum. And the scholars, they state that the Sharia of Islam, it was from Allah's mercy that everything that He made obligatory upon His Ummah, He conditioned it by istata'a. Everything that is obligatory in the religion, it is only up to the extent that one is able to do it. Allah does not burden a soul beyond its ability. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you're able. So whenever any of the commandments of Islam become impossible or difficult on a person, he's not able to do it, then Islam, the Sharia of Islam, it brings an alternative to that act of worship, that commandment. Whatever one is unable to do, when one is unable to carry out that obligation, the Sharia of Islam brings a replacement for it, which one will be able to do. This is from Allah's mercy. So an example of that is when Allah has commanded us to purify ourselves for Salah. He commanded us to wash. إِذَا قُمْتُمْ أَوْ يُوْ بِلِيْفِ. If you stand up for prayer, فَغْسِلُ وُجُوهَكُمْ. Wash your face and your arms up to the elbows, and wipe your head and wash your feet. So this is a commandment from Allah Ta'ala to wash with water for Salah. But what if one is not able to find water? Or one is sick? Or if using the water will cause one to become more ill? Or what if one is in fear, and if they go and get water they might be harmed in the time of a battle, for example, if the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba were in the battlefield, they went and got water and performed wudu, there was fear. So in these types of cases, then the Sharia teaches us to go to what is called tayammum. And tayammum here is, inshallah, tonight there's a hadith that we'll be discussing on the ruling of how to do the tayammum. How do we perform tayammum, inshallah ta'ala? That will be the subject of tonight's discussion. So let us begin, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, salatu wasalam ala Rasulullah. The hadith tonight is a very interesting hadith narrated by Ammar ibn Yasir. May Allah be pleased with him. So Ammar ibn Yasir رضي الله عنه قال بعثني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حاجة فأجنبت فلم أجد الماء فتمرغت في الصعيد كما تمرغ الدابة ثم أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فذكرت ذلك له فقال إنما كان يكفيك أن تقول بيديك هكذا ثم ضرب بيديه الأرض ضربة واحدة ثم مسح الشمال على اليمين وظاهر كفيه ووجهه. Hadith is agreed upon. So this hadith is narrated by the noble Sahabi Ammar ibn Yasir, who begins the narration saying, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent me out in some need. He sent me out to fulfill some need of his. And in the text we don't know what that need was, but he sent him out for some need. And so He said, I became Junub. He became in a state of Janaba, major impurity. And I didn't find any water. So then, he says, I rolled around in the dirt, just like an animal rolls in the dirt. He rolled around in the dirt, just like an animal rolls in the dirt. Then I came to the Prophet ﷺ and I explained to him what had happened. That he was away from water, he became Junub. So he says, I rolled around in the dirt in order to become purified. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, it would have sufficed you to do with your hands like this. Then he struck with his two hands the earth one time, and then he wiped the left hand over the right hand, and then the ashimar al yamin wa zahir kafayhi wa wajhi. So he wiped his left hand over the right, and then he wiped the other hands, and then he wiped his face. This hadith is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. This is the wording of Muslim. Imam Bukhari narrates the same hadith, but he says in a little bit of a different wording, he struck his hands on the earth, then he blew on them, and then he wiped with them his face and his hands. He wiped his face and his hands. This is the Bukhari's wording, but the same story that took place. So here's something very interesting about the story of Ammar, is that when he knew about the ruling of tayammum for the salah, that one can make the tayammum striking the hand. He knew about tayammum, that using dirt instead of water in order to become purified for the prayer, for the minor, for the wudu. So what he did is he made a type of analogy. He made his own analogy because he didn't have the Prophet ﷺ there to ask him, so he had to make his own ijtihad, his own analogy. So the analogy he made is that just as when one performs wudu, they use water and they wash certain limbs, when you need to perform ghusl, you have to make water touch the whole body. So he assumed that you have to make dirt touch your whole body in order to become pure from the major impurity. See, what he was doing, his analogy was that if a person, he was making an analogy of tayammum for salah to the ghusl from the major impurity. So he thought, or he assumed that, or he made the idea that one has to cover the whole body with dirt in the absence of water. Just like you have to touch the hands and the face with dirt if there's no water for salah. So he assumed, or he made an analogy with ghusl, and he rubbed his whole body with dirt. What did the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him? He said, it would have been enough for you to just do with your hands like this. You didn't have to rub your whole body in dirt. So he struck the hands on the ground, and then he showed him how to do the tayammum. So up to here, what we learn is that tayammum is only one way, and it suffices for purity from the minor impurity and the major impurity. If somebody, they don't have water and they need to get ready for salah and they have a minor impurity, they can do tayammum. If somebody has a major impurity, the janaba, and they don't have water or they're sick and they cannot take a shower, then what do they do? The same tayammum that you do for the minor impurity. There's no, the tayammum suffices for the major and minor impurity. This is what the Prophet ﷺ explained to Ammar radiallahu anhu. Also, we see in this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ struck the ground. It says that daraba. Daraba in Arabic, who's studying Arabic here? What does it mean? Daraba. And Luqman? To hit something, right? Daraba Zaydun Amran. That's what we learn in Nahl, all in grammar. Daraba Zaydun Amran. Zayd hit Amr. So daraba means to strike something. And here, what this indicates to us in the hadith is that the one, when they want to do tayammum, they should not just rub the dirt or touch the dirt, they have to strike it. And this is the wording of the Prophet ﷺ, or the hadith, that he struck the ground. So not just rubbing on the dirt or pushing the dirt, but they should strike it with their hands. And then he began to write his right hand. So here, a question comes up. There's a few issues when we talk about tayammum. That we know the tayammum is two limbs, right? The hands and the face. So the issue, this is the issue that comes up. Do we strike it this one time in the beginning, as it mentions in the hadith, and then wipe the hands and the face? Or do we strike it twice? Once in the beginning, wipe the hands, once again, and wipe the face. We'll see, inshallah, the detail. Another issue that comes up in tayammum is when it says wiping the hand. In Arabic, the hand can be from the tip of the fingers to the wrist, or could continue all the way to the elbow. And even yad in Arabic even concludes up to the shoulder. So all of those are possibilities in the city. So that's something also the ulama, they looked at a number of narrations and they discussed it. And the third issue that comes up is, do we start with wiping the hands first or wiping the face first? These are three issues we're going to discuss, and then inshallah you can tell me if see if you remember it in the end. Okay, so first the issue of, first we have the issue of how much to wipe. How much of the hands or the arms should one wipe? The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, it says he wiped up to the wrist. So if you're in the hospital or you're making tayammum, you strike it once and you wipe the right hand first and then the left. The hadith, it says that he used the left hand to wipe the right hand. So which hand do we begin with? We have to begin with the right hand, using the left hand to wipe the right hand. And the hadith says up to the wrist. So this is all we have in the prophetic hadith, that he wiped up to the wrist. But some of the Sahaba, they narrate that he actually wiped all the way up to the elbow, or that it's recommended to wipe up to the elbow. This was narrated by Ibn Umar. Ibn Umar. So we'll come to that, inshallah. So some of the predecessors, they said wiping up to the elbows is permissible. And we'll see how the fuqaha, which ruling they gave on that. Okay. So we learned so far that one should strike the ground with the hands, begin with the right side, and then wipe the hand either up to the wrist or up to the elbow. This is what we've covered so far, inshallah ta'ala. Now we have another issue, which is, do we begin with the hands first when we strike, or the face? In the hadith of Ammar, it mentions that the Prophet ﷺ wiped the hands and then the face. But in the hadith of Bukhari, which is the second narration that we read, and we repeat it for you, it says that he struck with his hands the ground, then blew on it, and then wiped his face and his hands. So the Bukhari, which is more authentic, Muslim or Bukhari? Bukhari is more authentic. So this is one angle which shows that the face should begin first. Also, we have in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْ. Wipe your faces and your hands. So Allah begins with the face and then the hands. And then the stronger narration, Bukhari. So due to that, the scholars, they prefer, or they say that the correct order is to begin with the face, actually, and then wipe the hands. Why did Ammar say, as a side point, why did Ammar say he wiped the hands and the face? The word wow in Arabic, hal yufid tartib, in Arabia, is, does the wow mean order? And in Arabic, it doesn't mean that there's any specific order. If I say, Muhammad came in, and Zahir came in. Does it mean that Muhammad came first and then Zahir? Not necessarily. This means they shared the action. So it could be understood in this way, that he was just saying that the wiping those two limbs, but he didn't give the order. And when we look in the Quran, the order is more clear, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so this is what we learned from the Quran. فَمْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ and the stronger narration of Bukhari. And this is why the author, he could have sufficed with the story with Muslim, but he wanted to bring the narration of Bukhari for this reason, so to indicate the ordering. And also another reason is that he brought the narration of Bukhari. The second shorter narration is that it talks about blowing on the hands. In the first narration of Muslim, it doesn't say anything about blowing. So what is the ruling when a person, they want to do tayammum, they struck the rock or the earth, and then should they blow on the hands or should they not blow on the hands? Here the scholars, they differed. Three of the four imams, they said that one should blow on the hands first. And one of them said, no, they shouldn't blow on the hands. Imam Shafi'i, he said you should not blow on the hands because the reason is the dust that you want to use for tayammum will be blown away. There'll be no dust left. But the other three imams, they say, yes, you should blow on the hands. And the goal is not to remove the dirt, to remove the dust, but the goal is to remove any large objects like pebbles or wood that might be harmful were you to wipe your face with it. So you blow it so that the splinters and the wood and things like that go away. The dust will still remain and you can perform your tayammum. So three of the four imams, they say, you do blow on the hands. Shafi, he said, or he didn't think one should blow on it, because he said the dust would go away from the hands. Now, so the correct ruling is that the face should be first, and that one should blow on the hands. This is a stronger view of Bukhari and Muslim. Now, when we talked about before, striking the twice or one time, should a person strike the hands once, wipe the face, strike again, and then wipe the arms? Or should they just suffice with one time? Here also, when we look amongst the ahadith, we find that Ibn Umar, he narrates that wiping, the striking should be twice. Ibn Umar, not the Prophet ﷺ. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says he struck it once, or it says he struck it. But Ibn Umar, who was a did he see the Prophet ﷺ? Yes, he was a Sahabi. And the Sahabi, they were very keen to imitate the Prophet ﷺ. And would Ibn Umar do an innovation in a matter so important as purification? Or would it be imitating the Prophet ﷺ? Ibn Umar, he would adhere to the Sunnah. So if he did something, the scholars say it's as if the Prophet in a matter of worship. He would not innovate. The Sahaba were the furthest people away from going away from the Sunnah. So if he did something, even if it's not narrated that he didn't say Prophet Muhammad did it, as if we can say the ruling or the authority of that action goes back to Prophet Muhammad, because we trust the Sahaba that they only did things in matters of religion that they learned from Prophet Muhammad. Okay, so striking twice is narrated by Ibn Umar, and many ulama, they say that this is the stronger view amongst the scholars, is that one should strike it twice. Okay, so this is the different evidences or the different issues that come up. Whether to wipe up to the elbow or just up to the wrist, to begin with the face or the arms, and also striking once or twice. These are different views that the ulama had, just like they had different views about what type of earth to use. Should you use the anything that's on the surface of the earth, like even a rock that's barren, or can you use dust that's inside of a mattress or a mat? They had different views about it. Some said you can just use the dust, some of them said you can have to be on the surface of the earth. Likewise here, the ulama, they had different views. So let us look at the four imams, four madhahib, and see what their conclusion was after examining all of these evidences. Okay, so Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad, they say that one should strike twice. One should strike the ground or the rock or the earth twice and only wipe up to the wrists. This is who? Shafi and Ahmed. Strike it twice and only up to the wrist. You don't have to wipe up to the elbows, and not just one time. They say one should strike it twice. Shafi and Ahmed. Imam Malik, he said, you also strike it twice and one for the face and one for the hands also. لكن ضربة من الوجه وضربة من الكفين فقط. نعم. So Imam Maliki also said you strike it twice, once for the face and one for the palms of the hands also. Imam Abu Hanifa, he said you only strike it one time. You only strike the ground one time. Okay, so Ahmed and Shafi'i, they say two strikes and one. Okay, let's start it again, because I said that for Shafi'i and Ahmed up to the wrist, they actually say up to the elbows. Okay, so let's say it again. Shafi'i and Ahmed, they say you strike it twice and you go up to the wrist only. Imam Malik, he says you strike it twice but you go up to the elbows. The elbows, no. And Imam Abu Hanifa, he says you strike it twice and only up to the wrists. Okay, so if this is not too confusing for you, inshallah, this is what the different ulama, the way that they looked at it. One more time. Shafi'i and Ahmad, up to the wrist, two strikes. Malik, strike it twice but up to the elbows. And Abu Hanifa, one strike up to the wrist. So which one is correct? No, this is why we learn fiqh. You can see how the scholars, they looked at this, inshallah. No. So this is how the scholars, they looked at the various texts, and the author, he brought the different texts in order to show us the reason why the ulama, they differed on these different issues, inshallah ta'ala. So this is what we have for today, inshallah. فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. This is the verse of tayammum in the Quran. فَمْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْ. So the Quran, it doesn't specify. Okay, yeah, one more point, inshallah, before we finish. The Quran, it says wipe your face and your hands. And remember the word yad in Arabic? Yad in Arabic, it could mean just the wrist, it could mean up to the elbow, or it could mean even up to the shoulder. So the Quran, it doesn't give a clear ruling on it. So what the scholars, they did is they wanted to make an analogy with some other verses which the ruling is known about the hand. And so some of them said, can we make an analogy about the word yad in cutting the thief? وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقُ سَارِقَةُ فَاقْطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا. So the word yad is used again, but everyone, we know the ruling is up to the wrist for cutting the thief, right? The amputation. So can we make an analogy between the tayammum and Allah's wipe the hand and that of cutting the wrist? Can we make an analogy and say that we should only wipe up to the wrist? Is that a fair analogy, would you say?
Yeah.
Even wudu, it says, "I will go."
This is better now. Cutting the hand is different, a totally different type of act of worship. It's a hudud, where this is a purification. They're two totally different separate chapters. And one of the rules in making analogy is that the source and the original act that we're looking at and the one that we're making the analogy with, they should be similar to each other. So these are in two totally different chapters, so we cannot really make an analogy with cutting the hand of the thief. But then the brother, he mentioned, what about the wudu? There's an analogy, right? Allah says, وَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. So the word yad is used here, the hand up to the elbow. So can we assume that in tayammum we should also wipe the hand up to the elbow? Even here there's a difference in the two things. See, if the analogy is not perfect, then the ruling will not be correct. So even here there's a difference, because the washing is using water, whereas wiping is using dust. And using water is different than using dust. It's not something that is exactly analogous. So the scholars say a person, we cannot make an analogy with the cutting the thief, and we cannot make an analogy with the wudu. So then we should follow the text as best as we can, inshallah ta'ala. on the issue. So this is the last part of the hadith for today, the explanation of the hadith, inshallah. If there's any questions on this topic, you're welcome to.
Abdullah ibn Umar?
Yes. Abdullah, you're right. Ibn Umar had more than one son.
Yes.
He had Abdullah ibn Umar was the famous one who married a lot of hadith. But usually to say Ibn Umar, people assume right away that it's Abdullah, because he was the most famous of them. Now. Yes.
Or like somebody who's going through a terminal illness and they're in a clean, hospital where there's no dust that you can't get.
Yes, it's a good, somebody who is in a hospital room and he cannot find dust or dirt to make the tayammum. So we mentioned last time that Imam Nawawi, who was one of the scholars of the Shafi'i madhab, he said that even if you have a mattress or a furniture or a pillow, anything that might have some dust particles on it,
mm-hmm.
even if you strike it and some of the dust particles come out, he considered that sufficient for a tayammum. It doesn't have to be actual rock or actual dirt from the ground. Even just striking some mattress, if you can get some dust out of it, that would suffice in that condition.
The wall also.
Yes, the wall that has dust on it. No.
Second question, sheetrock.
Sheetrock. The rock inside of it is from a natural compound, right? From the earth. Yeah. So, but they put paper on the outside, right? So if the sheetrock itself, were you able to get dust out of it, or? Painted surface. The easiest thing, if you want to go by the Jumhur, the majority, is if you know somebody's in a hospital, you can bring them a rock. Any natural rock, even if it's small, it doesn't have to be large. If it has dust on the rock, that's even more better. That will be correct according to all the madhahib. But even if it's a barren rock that's washed and there's no dirt on it at all, the majority, other than Shafi, they say it's okay to use that. So if you want to get a rock with a little bit of dirt on it, say here's a present for you, inshallah, we'll give you Shifa'at. And they can use that, all four madhahib say it's correct.
Even the hospital bed, mattress.
Usually, yeah, I would assume like a carpet or a mattress, there's usually dust.
At least some dust, and Allah is the one who produces.
Yeah, exactly. If there is nothing available, then we go back to the original principle that every obligation, if it's unable to fulfill it, there's an alternative. So say, for example, you're in an environment where there's no dust whatsoever, then you perform your prayer even as you are. And Allah will accept it. You don't have to repeat it. You don't have to repeat the prayer. If you're on an airplane and you have to pray, and you cannot stand up, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, you pray in your seat, and it counts as if you're not burdened more than you can bear. You don't have to repeat the prayer, because you did the best of your ability at the time when the obligation was there. So, if somebody were in that situation, and they tried to find dust, and even if they weren't able to get any dust at all, then they could pray even without making the tayammum in that case. But usually, I would hope, inshallah, there's some dust, and that it's hoped that that would have been sufficient, inshallah. You can even help somebody else perform tayammum and wudu. If somebody, for example, who's naqadarullah, they're not able to perform wudu or tayammum themselves, you can actually do the tayammum for them. You can help. You can put the rock and touch their hands and make them have the tahara. Yes. You can help them. Just like there was a sahabi who helped the Prophet to perform his wudu. He poured the water for him on his feet, and he wanted to take his socks off. So you can help a person in that condition to perform their tahara. Some people, it's very important to happen.
People who don't know that, they know that how to do the tayammum, but they don't know that, and they read all the way back to wudu.
It's like Ammar, he rolled in the whole dirt.
He knew that, the alternative is the tayammum. But he don't know that how much he has to do. So he did all that, you know, the, like blowing nose and everything. Because this is lack of knowledge.
Yes.
The suggestion that we keep a dirty spot in our house. In a corner with dust.
No, you got water every time, 24 hours in your house.
You know, some people, they think if I can't use water, then I should just not pray until I can start using water. That's also like somebody, they might be in janabah, or they need to make a ghusl for some reason, and they're not able to, so they say, I'll just skip my prayers until I'm able to go do the ghusl. Actually not correct, right? Because the tayammum, tayammum suffices. You're in a workplace or you're at school and you cannot make wudu.
You
can find the
water and you need a paper or something. But in that situation,
you can make tayammum and pray. You should do that. You should not delay the prayer beyond its proper time. You should do tayammum, pray in that state, and you don't have to repeat.
Even if you have to use toilet tissue for tahara, that's what the
Bible says. Toilet tissue for tahara, can you pray in that state?
Yes.
Toilet tissue, it's sufficient for istinja, because the Prophet said he used stones.
Stones.
So toilet tissue would be sufficient in that case. You don't have to use water. In that case, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. The deen, you know, Allah, He made alternatives for us in all times. And whatever hardship a person faces, then Allah will give him something easier as a replacement, inshallah, in the deen, inshallah. So this is one of the important lessons from tayammum, inshallah. Any other questions? Any questions? Outside the topic, you can ask, inshallah. No. All right. Okay, Jazakumullah khairan. May Allah accept from you and me and give us goodness in this world and the next, inshaAllah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa jazakumullah khairan. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullah khairan.